God always prepares before he acts. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Do you kind of get tired of doctrine without application, religion without reality, and cliches without truth? If so, you've come to the right place. The place, Key Life, the teacher, Steve Brown.
Thank you, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Amos. We're going through the book of Amos, and I'm your tour director. Now, as you know, in these Old Testament surveys, I am not doing it line upon line and precept upon precept. We just don't have that kind of time. And so what I'm doing is introducing you to each of the books of the Old Testament. They're written by friends of mine, whom I love, and I want you to love them too. And so I'm telling you something about these people and giving you some exegetical handles that will help you understand. And then for each book, I've become sort of a tour director, lifting up particular significant verses in these particular Old Testament books. And my hope is that you will learn to love and know the Old Testament because it is the Bible. The New Testament is the Bible, and you don't have the whole Bible until you have both. And we're looking at the book of Amos, and I'm taking you through the book of Amos. If you have your Bible, open it to the third chapter, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 8. Can two walk together unless they're agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has not caught anything? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, but who can prophesy? Now, of course, what Amos is saying here is that the lion has roared, and that God is preparing to do something, so listen up. In other words, God doesn't just do something in a vacuum. He prepares. But the interesting thing in this is the classical argument for God is one that has to do with cause and effect. Thomas Aquinas had four cosmological arguments for God. He said, if there is motion, it presupposes a previous motion. If there is cause, it presupposes a previous effect. If there is the conditional, it requires the absolute. And I'm trying to think what. If there is the imperfect, it presupposes the perfect. And Aquinas uses that as the arguments for God. And that doesn't mean anything except that you can impress your friends with the fact that you know the cosmological arguments for the existence of God. That and 25 cents will get you a cup of coffee. But I want you to see what Amos is saying here. He's saying, listen, God is preparing to do something, and he doesn't just do it. He warns first. There is a cause and effect thing that builds up before God acts. Amos said, do you hear that lion roaring? Be very careful. The reason I'm against sin is not because it's just dirty or offensive to God, but because sin leads to more sin, leads to more sin. There's a cause and effect system. And if you've got an addiction right now, the easiest time to stop it and fix it and get some help is right now, because the causes and the effects will multiply. And it will become bigger and bigger and bigger. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said to America one time that we had so much that we were blind. See, what he was saying is you got to be careful, because that's going to lead to something that is even worse. So Amos uses some wonderful imagery here when he says, the lion is roaring. Do you hear that lion? That's the beginning of God's action. You better listen up, because this is a scary thing. Now, if you have your Bible, look at the 12th verse of the third chapter of Amos. Thus says the Lord, As a shepherd takes from the mouth of a lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out who dwell in Samaria, in the corner of the bed and on the edge of the couch. Now, what is Amos talking about here? Well, he's talking about a remnant. He's talking, and you'll find this in Romans 11, 1 through 5, in Romans 9, 27, and in fact, you find it throughout Isaiah, throughout Jeremiah, and many books of the Bible, that there is a smaller group within the group. John Wesley did that. He talked about the ecclesia within the ecclesia. What he's talking about, ecclesia is the word for the church, the called out ones. And he said there was a church within the church. He was talking about a remnant, and he got that from God, that God always calls that core of believers to change the entire world. You'll find it under Asbury, the Great Awakening. You'll find it in the Jesus movement, that God starts with a few, a remnant, and through them, he works a great work in the world. In 1 Kings 19, you remember Elijah had gone through all of his stuff with the prophets, and he had been faithful, and he had been quite successful. And then he says, I only am left. And God said, that's enough. A small group committed can change the world. Now, let me give you this idea of a remnant. We won't see much more of it in Amos, but you'll find it throughout the Bible. And I don't know where I got this. I'd give credit if I know it's not mine. But there are five signs of a remnant within the church, a remnant amongst God's people. And these are the people that change the world. Let me give you this five. First, a non-emotional commitment to obedience. In other words, somebody who says, I don't like this. I wish I could be some other place else. But God put me here, and I'm here, and I am going to be obedient. Secondly, you can tell if you're a part of the remnant because you have a fear of a herd mentality. If everybody seems to be drawn to it, everybody else seems to be doing it, everybody else is smiling the same way and doing the same things and saying the same things, and something in you says, whoa, I don't like this, you might be a part of the remnant. Then thirdly, a sense of being chosen. A sense of being set apart. D.L. Moody said, God, you called me, and I will be faithful. And fourthly, you can identify the remnant by an absolute trust in God, even when circumstances do not seem to confirm your trust in God. Have you ever seen those people who just go through tough stuff, and somehow they keep on hanging on, even if circumstances aren't good? And then finally, you can identify a remnant because the remnant has a concern for the non-remnant. And so Amos lifts up the idea of the remnant in his prophetic work. And maybe you're a part of that. Maybe when you look at your church, you think they're not very committed, but I can't help it. I am. And I can't get out of this. It may be that God is making you a life changer, changing the world. Well, enough about that. We could spend another 3 or 4 weeks on the idea of the remnant. Now look at, let's go on to the fourth chapter of Amos. Now give me a second here. I flipped my Bible some other place. Oh, here. The fourth chapter of Amos, and look at verses 1 through 3. Hear the word. You're not going to like this if you're a feminist. You cows of Bashan who are on the mountain of Samaria who oppress the poor. Now he's talking about the women. Who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring wine and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness, behold, the days shall come upon you when he will take you away with fishhooks and your posterity with fishhooks. You will go out through the broken walls, each one straight ahead of her, and you will be cast into Harmon, says the Lord. You say, well, that's pretty sexist. No, it isn't. You see, Amos understood the power of women. He understood that women have a tremendous influence on the world. The hand that rocks the cradle rocks the world. Men and women aren't the same, thank God. But women are very, very powerful. We keep talking about empowering women. Women have power. Do you know who has the most power in our family? My wife. You know who's the biggest servant I've ever met in the sense of Christ being a servant? Is my wife. Boy, when my wife to this day speaks to our daughters or to our granddaughters or to me and asks something, we consider it a command because she has power. Now, she's submissive. She understands the idea of the husband being the priest in the family. But I want you to know, she has tremendous power to influence me. There are times when I wanted to give all this up. When I just didn't want to do it anymore. And my wife said, honey, you can't do it. God called you to do this. You keep at it. And don't you shilly-shally. And so Amos is mad at the women. He's saying, you know, you had powerful influence in your culture and you blew it. You became a moral drag on your entire culture. You should have stood up. You should have spoken up. You should have made a difference. Women are very, very important. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, you're a part of our Key Life tape, and I must say, CD family. We just made the executive decision around here to include a CD format. Now, this is not going yet, but it's going to happen soon. We're moving forthwith to offer CDs as well as cassettes. So if you'll let us know you'd like to be a part of it, this is how it works. We take the places where I teach the Bible, a Reformed Theological Seminary at the Cove, a missions conference, and every 7 or 8 weeks you automatically receive a tape or a CD. And they keep coming as long as you want them, and they're free. If you'd like to be a part of it, give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, M3H5M3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask to be a part of the tape CD family of Key Life. And listen, they're free, but if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. Man, this is an expensive broadcast, and only a few people are able to help us. So pray about it. And if you're to be one of those, be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching, The Assets of Weakness, How to Be Strong When You're Weak. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.